Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live, well, halfway home. I'm in the Dave Cave, and of course, Gooch is live at the Flipping Made Easy Studios in Mattawan, New Jersey. We want to thank you guys for joining us, Sturch and Gooch. And first and foremost, Gooch, happy Thanksgiving again. How was it?
It was good, bro. Do I have an echo?
No.
Should I put on the headphones?
I don't know. Who said you have an echo?
No, I'm just asking you.
No, you're good. You're absolutely good.
Everything was good. Thanksgiving was good. The Thanksgiving Eve was good. I went out and got hammered and then paid the price for it all day yesterday.
Nice.
I'm still kind of paying the price for it. That's what happens at my age. You get the two-day banger.
The good old days. I'm actually going out tonight for a birthday, so I'll get to venture out for a little bit. But my Thanksgiving was arguably, outside of obviously having a new addition with my son, it was arguably the worst Thanksgiving that I've ever had, ever. And I say that lightly. I don't say that lightly. I say, like, anything that could go wrong did go wrong on Thanksgiving in regards to so many things. First and foremost, I'm nice and sore from playing the Delta Variant Bowl, Turkey Bowl game with a bunch of hooligans. And the worst thing that could have possibly happened, and it wasn't to me. But before I do that, before I even say what I want to say, I do want to preface this with my brother Danny. He goes out these things. I didn't even see that comment. I was looking away, but
it was just Tommy D saying happy belated Thanksgiving.
Oh, Tommy D got beef. Tommy D can take it deep, to be honest with you, because he's one of the guys I'm about to attack. But anyway, as far as my brother can say, he's one of those guys. He's very much like you and me, and like your brother Carl, and like we're just very competitive people. And no matter what the situation is, you're always going to give it like 120%, which is definitely detrimental at our age. You know, I'm 36. My brother's 3 years younger, 2.5 years younger than me. We're not spring chickens anymore. My brother went out there, caught 2 touchdowns, took a kickoff to the house. Like, he was having himself a day. And then there was one play where he was running across the middle. He said he heard something go, and he hit the ground. And, you hear this, like, loud yell. And I thought he was, like, pumped up. I thought he was pumped up. Dude, I'm not in the mood right now, Tommy. You're like, go do something with yourself. Anyway, he heard something go, and you know, obviously, like, there could be a potential tear or something to that effect. It stinks. You know, we go out there, we try to have fun, but at the end of the day, real life sets in, and it's one of those things where it's just like, man, you hope that it's just like a dislocated kneecap or something not, you know, structural, where it's like tendons and shit.
Yeah, dislocated kneecap isn't great either, Dave. I don't know what you're thinking.
No, but I'm saying, like,
it couldn't be as bad as a torn ACL. But
yeah, if it's an ACL, I mean, that you know, the next couple months are going to be usually
when you dislocate a kneecap, there tends to be some structural issues as well.
Correct. I'm just trying to find,
hoping for the best.
Yeah,
and we wish you the best. Hopefully, he doesn't have a hobbled holiday.
Yeah, I mean, he hobbled yesterday, but again, he's a gamer, and we all had a good time, and it was just so funny. Like, he doesn't stop. He's hard headed, and I wish the best for him, because now I feel very responsible. I almost, like, you know, made him play. You know, so it's like one of those things that are setting in on me as a brother. You know, your job in life is to protect your baby bro.
So it's your fault.
It is my fault.
You ruined everything.
According to my mother, is all my fault, and that's that. That was my Thanksgiving. Oh wait, no, it wasn't, because there was still a football game to watch, and we'll get into that. First and foremost, let me definitely shout out my friend Lindsay and her project that she's doing right now, the 2021 Family Gift Assistant Project. So you can go adopt a family and give them the gifts that they're not able to get. It's a really good thing. Give back. It's the holiday season. I really hope that everybody helps out. It's in the, if you're in Chop Sports, the Facebook group, which some of you are not anymore because you decided to go in on me after a loss. If you're in the Facebook group, it is available to go click on the link and help out throughout the holiday season. So I really appreciate that. Kyle's chiming in about the game. Granted, we'll get into that in a second. I don't really want to go too deep because there was actually a game prior to the Cowboys. So let's start on that one. And I know there's not much to talk about because, like, the billing, you know, on the billing wasn't really that incredible. You know, Andy Dalton against Jared Goff. Goff got the start. So anybody who made those memes about, like, Nick Boyle or Mike Boyle, whatever his name is, starting for the Detroit Lions, that did not come to fruition, yet they still couldn't get it done. The only unfortunate part about this game is that they didn't even cover the number, which sucks because you took the Lions thinking that they were going to. Sucks for me because I went 0-3.
I actually did well on this game. Everybody was like, this game is so boring. Honestly, there was a lot that I liked about this game as far as I took the both team total unders, the under for the game, and I took the Lions money line and then the Lions getting the three. So I went heavy on this game and it paid off for me. So
literally and figuratively.
Yeah, man. Literally and figuratively. The Bears
the game itself was just, I don't know, man. The Bears, I mean, look, maybe they were playing a little inspired football considering the fact that there was a lot of people talking about Nagy's head being on the chopping block, literally. He could have been fired. If they lost that game, I feel like it would have been done.
Yeah, they played real inspired. They put up 3 points in the second half. In the beginning, I was sweating.
And they got it done.
Yeah, they got it done, if you want to call it that. I feel like, if anything, they got what they got done was another week of Matt Nagy. Fuck that guy. Now he's got to go. For all those long-suffering Bears fans, you hear every single event that they have going on in Chicago right now. If there's a crowd, there's a chant.
Fire. Dude, they did it at the wrestling event the other night. Like, yeah, so it got so mad.
Everybody's shit list, and for good reason.
Yeah. So, yeah, this game, relatively bad from start to finish. The Lions might have lost DeAndre Swift, so that's very fantasy implications. As far as that's concerned, but the Bears, there's nothing really to write home about. Montgomery, slow and quiet. The Mooney,
Jamal Williams could be an RB2 going forward.
That's not very true.
He definitely will be if Swift is out.
Williams,
I would get your hands on him. I mean, it's too late. He's on a roster in most leagues. But look at the Lions, bro. 7-4 against the spread.
Right, 0-10 in the record books, but 7-4. In case you're still thinking the Lions are fighting, and they are. So shout out to the Lions for fighting in this game, losing this one. Did you hear the press conference with Dan Campbell prior to this?
I didn't, but I think I saw a couple posts about it.
And it's just pretty funny. They asked him about it. It was like a general question about, you know, at 12:30 on Thursday, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, wait, they didn't flex us out. Like, you know, like he made a joke about his own team getting flexed out of that game.
Going to happen. The networks say that it's a bad idea. The Lions do good on Thanksgiving Day. I would be upset if they took the Lions off. I don't care that they're bad. Honestly, it gives you something to watch in the background, not really give a shit about. And then once in a while, the Packers will get that game. So I don't really like the Packers playing on Thanksgiving, but because of the Lions, I've gotten it a few times.
I'm officially team no more Thanksgiving games. I mean, for me physically, never to do that shit again. But for the team that we're about to talk about next, and that's the Dallas Cowboys, who decided to drop one to the Las Vegas Raiders, 33-30 in overtime. Now, one thing I'll say about this is it's unfair, if you're a Cowboys fan, to have this team ruin your Thanksgiving time and time again. This is now three straight. They have not lost three straight Thanksgiving games since 1986 to 1989 when the team was bad. So this one stinks a little bit differently than the other ones. It took a while for the Cowboys to get rolling. And it took, dude, in today's day and age with the NFL, the way it's played, where it's ticky tacky and you can't touch the quarterback and you can't touch this, you can't do that. The referees took this game over. And I want to say it wasn't equally, like they started evening out the amount of times they decided to flag the Raiders. Right. But there weren't in the opportunistic times that they were flagging the Cowboys. The Cowboys were flagged that took away a touchdown. The Cowboys were flagged to extend the drive by the Raiders. The Cowboys were flagged for the roughing the passer thing where, my God, are you kidding me? Like, even Micah Parsons went on the stage during his press conference and said, you know, I'm not here to play tag with my best friends. Like, I'm here to play football. And that's what he did. He's like, I hit my own guy, and they flagged me because my hand hit his helmet. Like, once you
become, out of everything that went on with the Cowboys yesterday, the one – I mean, it's been this way all year, but Micah Parsons is elite.
Yeah.
That dude is over the field. He changes the game. Dallas defense didn't play great. Obviously, they got hurt by penalties. But having a guy like that in big games, he could change everything with one play. And he did it. When they needed a play, he came up. He made a stop in the backfield. And then you hear I think it was Romo calling the game, said they need him to come up big again. And he did. You know, every single time they need a big play, he's there. But unfortunately, Anthony Brown was also there.
Yeah, Anthony Brown was there. Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a man penalized so many times. We're now playing in a league where third and 18, which was the play, third and 18, it's time to just chuck it up because guess what? 99% of that time, a flag is going to come out of the back pocket of the official. And that goes both ways. You know what I mean? Like, we are now living in a time where that's part of your strategy. You know, Jerry Jones said it, and I know Jerry Jones is like a little outlandish, and he's out there. And
the way he described it was I was a little cringed by. But
I mean, everything he says is a little cringe. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, the way he describes, like, it's third and throw it up. You know, it's third and because you know it's going to happen, and it happened, and it bit the Cowboys in the ass, set up a game winning field goal, and that's it. The rest is history. I'm a little chapped at, you know, people getting on Dak Prescott. They're saying that he missed a couple throws, and I'm like, guys, you know, and I'm talking, when I say guys, I'm talking about Cowboys fans that are on Twitter. I'm like, guys, you know, he's going to miss throws. Like, Josh Allen last night won a game 31-6. We'll get into that one a little bit. But he threw two picks. You know what I mean? Like, he threw bad passes. So, like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of what the other guys on your team can do to establish this or what they could do to pick up your quarterback. Dak Prescott threw all those yards, two touchdowns, no turnovers. He did it with Michael Gallup as your wide receiver one. And I think it's apparent that, yes, while Gallup had a couple great catches down the seam, the sideline, I don't think he's a wide receiver one, and they can't pay him like a wide receiver one. He can't carry the load by himself. They kept talking all week long about being, you know, deep at receiver. They're not deep at receiver. Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown are, in fact, what they are. They are fourth and fifth receivers, and they played like that. Even the bad pass by Dak Prescott to Noah Brown could have been caught. My rule, my dad's rule, any old school fan's rule, if that ball hits you in the hands, you got
to
catch it.
Oh, you know, though, there was one play by Dak, and I don't mean to nitpick, but I'm going to anyway because I want your thoughts on it. There was a play that he got away with. That game would have ended on a pick if it didn't go through the guy's hands. I forget which Raider it was. And it ended up being a big play for Dallas where they were able to get a chance to tie it late. You know what play I'm talking about? There was a play on that game, that comeback drive when they were down three.
Play a pass by Prescott?
Yeah, that would have definitely been a clear pick.
Oh, he laced it in there. And yeah, like, those are definitely, yeah, 100%. Like, sometimes you're blown away by the velocity that some of these quarterbacks can throw with, and like, he literally found nobody. Like, I'm very surprised that
I still think it was an ill-advised throw. I think if when he let it go, he was like, oh, he wish he had that one back, and the Raiders could have iced the game on that. But to your point about the other throw, I mean, you're paying a receiver to catch that ball. I understand it was a little behind him, but man, if you get two hands on it, that's got to be a catch. It wasn't really that difficult. Like, receivers make that catch time and time again. High school receivers are making that catch.
And I don't necessarily think that, you know, with the return next week of CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, like, I don't know if that gets this offense. Like, they got to start fast. I mean, they can't keep going to the fourth quarter. Dak Prescott had over 200 yards in the fourth quarter alone. You know what I mean? So, like, all this comeback effort is great.
There was a point somebody raised in the Facebook group talking about Dallas. Are they a real contender or not? And, like, to say that Dallas is anything more or less than a contender and a playoff team is wrong on both ends. Like, they're no way the clear favorite in anything, but they're an obvious playoff team at this point. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won the NFC, but I personally don't see it happening. But Dallas is still a good team. They're going to be there at the end. They got some games coming up against their cupcake division that everyone wants to say, even though, you know, I think football team is playing a little bit better right now, and Philly's definitely playing a little bit better. I don't think that either of those teams have a legitimate chance to threaten Dallas for that division. That said, you know, it could get a little hairy for Dallas. They might be looking at the four seed. But like you said earlier to me, the Rams and the Packers play. The NFC, there's a lot of parity, a lot of good teams at the top, but the AFC – the NFC West has to play each other still. Some good teams over there.
Correct. So. There's going to be a lot of knocking around each other. Right. There's going to be a lot of knocking around of each other in those teams. And it's crazy. The Dallas Cowboys are 7-4, and three of their four losses came to the AFC West, which in the grand scheme of things, at the end of the year, when you're looking at tie-breaking procedures, record against the AFC falls in like fifth or sixth place, maybe even seventh. You know what I mean? Like, those are the games that you want to lose. And I'm not saying lose games.
They're winning some games now. They got to turn it around because
correct. And it starts, it starts on another 7-day week. It's not a short week, but it's another 7-day week. They got the Saints. And the Saints last night, you know, they played a game where you're just kind of like scratching your head. I don't know if, you know, we'll get into it in a second, but my final thoughts on the Cowboys before I record 17 Cowboy podcasts. We got a long comment. I don't know where that came from.
Talking about Anthony Brown.
Oh, well, it is. I mean, look, with Anthony Brown, it's bad. It's bad. All right, that last play, I stand by this because I watched the replay over and over again. The last play where he goes up, and the obvious PI call is because you're not playing the ball, right? If you're not playing the ball, 10 times out of 10, the referee's going to throw the flag. That receiver sold it so well where he jumped up to get an underthrown ball, but put his arms around Anthony Brown's head so he couldn't turn his head.
Receivers are taught to do that now. It's a guarantee. The underthrown ball, you know, if a quarterback underthrows a deep ball in one-on-one coverage, it's almost guaranteed. Unless the defender's able to spot the ball a little bit, then they'll let some contact go. But really, the reason why that call I don't think was a bad call. The other ones you could make a case for it, but that one, because he tried to catch the ball and caught his helmet instead, it did maybe prevent him from turning his head, but they're going to call that every time. I don't disagree with that call. It's just a shitty spot. And when you factor in everything else that led up to it, and that being like the 51st penalty for the 300th yard and also the dagger that cost him the game. And yeah, I also want to talk about at the end of the game before you go on, or you can finish this point, and then I want to talk about the field goal.
Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll talk about the field goal. But my closing arguments on the penalties in itself, not even just against Dallas. Like, this game, outside of the Super Bowl, this game is the most watched game in the league throughout the entire season. There's no juggernaut of a team that draws the attention like the Dallas Cowboys do on Thanksgiving. So the NFL dropped the ball. Literally, they screwed this up so bad when it comes to the penalties. It was atrocious. It was to the fact where they kept throwing it to Tony Corrente, and Corrente was even like, dude, no, bad call. And then, you know, I'll bring this up, Nick, because Nick Shine's chiming in. The Raiders created the tuck rule. Did they also create the center head bob rule last night? Again, like, that's not
something that I've seen a couple of times. That happened in Green Bay, and then you hear the ref saying, I warned you, and then they are showing a replay, and dude, I don't think that any center in the NFL doesn't do that.
Exactly. Like, that's a problem. But that's to me, that's a problem, because that almost serves like, all right, we've been flagging Dallas for like left and right things, right? Let's do something, right? And they did that. That was almost like a makeup call, like, hey, we got you guys. You know, like, no, you don't got it. That did nothing for the game. You know what I mean? Like, and even Romo, like, I think Romo is a way better color commentator than Troy Aikman when it comes to like homerism. Like, Romo was even saying, like, I've never even heard that. There was a couple calls that I literally said to my father, I was like, I don't think I've ever heard that before. Like, on the ready for this? Illegal block in the back on the kicking team. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. You're literally, if somebody's in front of you, Gooch, and you're the gunner, right, and you're running down the field trying to get the punt returner, and somebody's in front of you, you push him out of the way. And that's what he did. But they called an illegal block in the back on the punting team. I was like, I've never heard that in my life. You know, there was illegal formations. There was this, that, and third. The penalties ruined that game last night in a way where it became like, if you were the casual fan and that was your first time ever watching a football game, you may never come back. You may never like that. That was dumb. That was like every other play. It was at one point. Every other play. It wasn't like, oh, I'm making this up, or it feels like every other play. No, it really was. Because when you run offense, you typically run like 50 plays or 56 plays. There was 28 penalties. So do the math. Every other play. Like,
bro, there was a game, I think, with Tampa Bay and some other team I found out yesterday. I don't know who posted it, but there was a game in the NFL with 39 penalties in it. There's only like, how many plays from scrimmage are there?
Not enough.
Yeah, well,
that would probably fall under 40% of the plays there was a flag, you know. And not for nothing, Ed Hockley, you know, or not, whatever Hockley.
Oh, he had the game last week against Minnesota, so I know all about him.
First of all, I don't know if you knew this stat: road teams 8-2 when Hockley's officiating crew is on the field. 8-2, like,
yeah, it would have been nice to be one of those eight last week at Minnesota for Green Bay, but it wasn't the case. And I feel like we did get hammered by the refs, but I didn't mention it once on the podcast because there's no point on the Packers.
Well, that's the thing. I'll tell you right now, I'm not the one that's going to sit here and say like, oh man, F these refs, we lost because of them. Like, I'm not that guy. Go. I know I have about, and this is no joke, 40,000 plus tweets. I promise you, I've never been that guy to blame the referees. But yesterday became unwatchable. It became an embarrassment for the league. And this happened on both sides of the ball because, look, Nick Schein just brought it up. They made up a call against the Raiders. They made up a call against the Cowboys. How about the fact that they didn't even let McCarthy challenge? I don't know if you saw that play where there was a Waller catches one, takes three steps. It's punched out. A beautiful heads-up play by the defense to keep the ball in bounds, recovered our ball. They go back and say, I'm sitting there like, McCarthy, throw the challenge flag. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are they lining up? Throw the challenge flag. Later on, they're like, oh, by the way, this isn't a challengeable play. And I'm like,
well, if they blew the whistle, it's not.
But it's so bad. That's so bad. You know, you've got to let these things play. And it's just, again, it ruined the game. But before we get off the Cowboy game, that last field goal was the most.
Yeah, dude, that was great. I feel like you should see more of that in overtime in a situation where a game-winning field goal ends. A field goal would end the game. I'm timing it, and I'll go outside 30 fucking times in a row. I don't care. The guy in the Cowboys, he just was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even care. Giving up a first down isn't even bad because the likelihood of the game ending on a 37-yard field goal is probably in the 95 percentile, even higher. So the way I look at it is, okay, I'll go offsides here. No big deal. If I time it right and I don't go offsides, that's my chance at blocking the kick. And if they get the first down and they get the ball back, fine, you know, come bring the offense back out if that's what you want to do. Then we could maybe get a sack. We could punch one out. You're just increasing the chance for something to happen in your favor. So,
right.
I'm surprised that you don't see that more. And if I'm a coach, specifically a special teams coach, I'm saying, guys, just time the shit. If you go offsides five times, I don't care.
Oh, speaking of special teams, one more like Tony Pollard is like that boy needs the ball more. You know what I mean? Like, Zeke has been banged up. Zeke's been banged up. He's got a nasty thing going on with his knee the entire season. But Tony Pollard, man, he's just a game changer, bro. And when he took that back kick, though, Chris. Yeah, no, he missed his second kick.
He missed his second kick because he slapped his leg as he that was not an actual kick. He was 5 yards offside. So, yeah, he didn't give him another shot. He would have drilled that kick.
That was the old unevaded to the quarterback, but it was unevaded to the kick. So, yeah, definitely. But, yeah, whatever. I mean, look. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys are 7-4. And for any Cowboys fans chiming in or watching right now, I'm here to be the peacemaker of this season right now and tell you that 7-4 is still 7-4. You're still three games above 500. You're still 1.5. As of right now, you're 2.5, but I'm sure the Eagles will trounce the Giants. So even if you'll still be 1.5 up with a win in hand. So technically it's two games with six to go. This would have to be an epic collapse by the Dallas Cowboys for them not to win the division. And that's where I'm at right now with this division and this season. No longer am I sitting here like, oh, we could do this, that, and a third. We can get the one seed. I don't care now. Now I just want to win the NFC East. And for all those people that were starting to write off the NFC East, it's not a thing anymore. So pay the fuck attention. Like, I'm done with it. It's over. Anyway, moving on to the night game. Not very watchable as well. And it's just so crazy because – you know, the Dallas Cowboys have these New Orleans Saints, you know, and it's just, I know Nick Schein's bringing up comments about having no Cooper, no Lamb. And yeah, I get it, man. I get it. But you got to,
Dave, just do a live Cowboys podcast later and Nick Schein, you guys could talk about the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'll be actually recording one of my Cowboys podcasts right after this with my two guys. Anyway, on to this game, not very watchable. The Saints look atrocious on offense, which leads me to believe they're going to show up next week against the Dallas Cowboys like you've never seen them before, because now they lose this game 31-6. Josh Allen and company, Stephon Diggs, man, still, I know you called for a regression.
There is a regression.
Did you see that one play, touchdown that he caught? Dude, that route was disgusting.
I'm not taking away from Stephon Diggs' ability when I say that. I don't think he got worse at football. I'm just saying that the way the offense looks for the Bills this year, outside of yesterday and obvious other games that they've lit it up, the Bills have struggled, and Stephon Diggs has definitely struggled to put up the Pro Bowl caliber numbers that he's typically used to putting up. But that one play, and it was against a really good corner where he just made him look bad. He almost it looked like he considered taunting for a second, and he looked at him for a second,
and he's like, I'm going to get flagged. But then he proceeded to punt the ball into the crowd, and I'm sure he'll get a nice little fat fine for that.
I think you get fined, but they don't mind that as far as the flag goes.
I think they should just get – if they're going to fine somebody for throwing the football into the crowd, just fine them the cost of the football. Like it's $30. Go get
a simple. They cost $10,000.
Yeah, right. Football's now at $10,000. Oh God, I'll never understand that shit. I will never understand it for as long as I live. But the Saints are in trouble right now. Trevor Siemian obviously wasn't able to get anything going. And good, again, no Kamara, this team, no Ingram, this team doesn't function very well. And their receiving core is not the greatest right now. You know what I mean? And like, it's just bad for the Saints. And I find it hard pressed to think to count these guys out. But this team right now reminds me of the Seattle Seahawks of this year too.
Yeah, the Saints are done. I wouldn't say they're done record wise, but the way they look offensively, Jameis gone really just crushes them. They don't have enough to make up for it. Their defense can play well, but they need to get some breaks out there. They're on the field the entire game. The Bills basically did what they wanted in this one. Outside of a couple bad turnovers by Josh Allen, there really wasn't much to say good for the Saints.
No.
I think that's going to be typically the case going forward because, like I said, two bad losses in a row. They just got spanked by Philly, even though they kind of tightened it up late. But if you watch that game, the Saints didn't do a damn thing. I know it doesn't get much easier for them. I think they got another game against Tampa. They got Dallas coming on the schedule. It's just not going to get much easier for the Saints. Hopefully they get Atlanta the rest of the way every week. Yeah.
It's not going to be that. Play the Falcons every week. But yeah, let the record show that the Cowboys play the Saints next week. And that, to me, like the Raiders were coming off a 3-game losing streak and looking like shit and looking like the world was imploding around them. And now all of a sudden the Saints coming off two really bad losses, they're going to play up. They're going to absolutely play up. I don't care what this is. We're going to all be sitting here going crazy on Twitter saying, are we really letting Trevor Siemian do what he's doing right now? I could just feel it already deep in my core. Dallas gets some reinforcements back in December. So that's another heads up thing. But anyway, before we go to break, I do want to talk about one game and pick one game before break because this is the game that we're going to be talking about a lot of. And again, you mentioned it before, you know, the Rams and the Packers play, and the loser of this game not only gets another NFC loss, but they'll have four losses just like the Dallas Cowboys. And I guarantee you that if the Packers lose a fourth game or the Rams lose a fourth game, you're not going to hear any of their fan bases saying, this season's lost. It's over. We're reeling it.
Stop. Packers fans will be fickle as fuck, and they will all will be lost. Trust me.
Really?
Mason. Everyone wants Mason.
I had a conversation with a guy on Twitter. This kid Josh, who I go back and forth with, he's a good dude, real cool guy. And he said, he's like, do you think all fan bases are as bad as us? And I was like, I hope so, because I don't think it's fair that we have to deal with this kind of shit.
I mean, it's just people suck all together, Dave. It doesn't matter. Like, look at it like this. Yankee fans suck. You're a Yankee fan. Cowboys fans definitely suck. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Very aware. Packer fans. I watched it all develop last night.
To me, and I say this a lot, Packer fans are fucking corny for the most part. You know, I go on Packer Twitter and I kind of don't fit in. I really don't. Everybody's from the Midwest, just different speed over there. And they are fickle and they're very traditional, whereas like they're the typical fan base that takes the team's side on everything. So if like you're under contract, you better be there. I hate that. That's too old school for me. But yeah, the Packers aren't going to lose, so that's a good thing. Even though the Rams are in a good spot right now. I mean, it's a tough spot for the Packers to catch the Rams. They're coming off of two straight losses and a bye. And we knocked them out of the playoffs last year. So the Rams are definitely looking at this game as a way to get back into the conversation as one of the elite teams. Even though I think if you look at the point spread, I feel like people think the Rams are still an elite team because they're giving a point to the Packers on the road. I saw this point spread at -1 for Green Bay when it opened. I'm not sure exactly besides the Packers' load of injuries that they're dealing with, but the Rams haven't really showed me much. And there's a chance that Aaron Jones plays in this one. I think Rashawn Gary is back. Aaron Jones practiced yesterday. I hope they hold him out because it would be a shitty thing for him to look, put it this way. If he's ready to go, he's going to go. But I wouldn't want to see us lose Aaron Jones down the stretch because we do have the bye coming up after this. So it might not be a bad idea to keep him out and let AJ Dillon just pound the rock.
Oh, I totally agree with you there.
The Rams haven't really, they have a lot of team speed on their defense, but they really haven't done well when you run it right at them. Look at what the 49ers did 2 weeks ago. I know that the Packers and the 49ers are a different team as far as, you know, what their game plan is going in. The 49ers will run the ball 30 times in a row if they could. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers, so that they don't need to. You have to play the Packers straight up regardless. I'm very, very interested to see how the Rams are going to respond because they've been playing real soft, and I feel like The clear path to victory for Green Bay in this game is just pound the rock. The Rams secondary is good. So again, we got the AJ Dillon show. He gets another shot to show us that he could be the guy. Obviously, you know, I'm not picking the Rams. Packers, this might be the last time besides the Ravens game that they're underdogs this season. And it's definitely going to be the only time that they're underdogs at home. I think it's embarrassing that they're getting a point.
Yeah.
And that's the way that they're going to approach this in the locker room. So Packers, obviously.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. I think it's borderline disrespect to ever. I understand the Packers are going through their injuries and I totally get that, but I think it's a little shitty for like anybody to look at the Rams, who have been reeling and lost a couple of decent games within the last month, for them to be favored here. I don't care how many injuries. The Packers are 8-3, despite the fact that half their team is out. I'm taking the Packers in this one as well. Another go. LaFleur is going to
come. Yeah, me and AJ had a conversation about AJ Dillon, a little prop for his over 81.5 yards, and it didn't come through. So he's talking about should we give it another go. Obviously, you know I'm going to say yes, but, you know, you got to break down the analytics and see. The Rams have been giving up huge chunk plays on the ground. But I feel like the onus has been on stopping the run for them for 2 weeks now in practice. So we're going to get to see if the Rams could fix things over their bye.
Yeah. So we're both on the Packers going into this one. Let's take a little bit of a break. Let's towel off and let's not be as heated as I just was for the entire Cowboys rant. But when we come back, we got the rest of the NFL slate. We'll call it a day. We'll talk to you guys about a little bit of a Black Friday sale we've got going on here for some of our merchandise. And, of course, we got the rest of the NFL slate. So stick with us. Hang with us. It's Black Friday. I know nobody's working right now except us. So stick with us, ladies and gents.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thank you, of course, always to Craig and Janine at Absolute Eyewear doing their thing. So before we get into the full slate, I know we just picked a Packer game. I know that my picks on Thanksgiving went 0-3. This is why you don't listen to me. Go listen to the Sauce or Chris, because he went 2-1. But this right here is your standings after. That's not right. All right. Well, Dave forgot all about that crap. So anyway, I gained the game on Chris last week. But that's really – it doesn't matter at this point because he has already just completely crushed me.
So I gained 2 games already this week.
You gained 2 games already this week. Well, here's a game that's going to be difficult to pick, I think. We got the Colts. We got the Bucks. The game's in Indianapolis. The Colts are on fire right now. They are 6-5. They are playing good football, complimentary football, offense, defense, even the special teams rocking it. The Bucks are coming off their beatdown of the New York Giants. The Bucks are favored, -3 on the road. Gooch, what say you, bro? I'll give it to you first.
This is a hard one for me. Everybody is dick riding the Colts, so it's hard. I them getting points at home, I feel like everybody's going to be on the Colts. I wish maybe Kyle would be able to drop some knowledge on whether that's actually the case or not. But I just feel like this point spread's a little fishy, and I don't want to go anywhere near this game. But it's just hard for me to pick against the Colts at home right now, the way they've been playing. I think that they're 6-2 or 6-1 in their last 7. It's something really good. Carson Wentz is playing a lot better. Right around now, though, is when Tampa Bay's defense started to cook last year. So it could be down the stretch. Brady is tough to beat, but it is the Colts at home, and the Colts have been playing great. I'm not going to pick the Bucks. I got to just go with the Colts, but I've been burned by Brady the last 3 times I picked against them. So
yeah, I think, again, a little bit when a team is real, doing good. I know I sound like I'm like not stuttering or delaying. I'm also writing down our picks because I don't want to forget them again. But anyway, so I'm with the Colts too. And I saw that what Brady did, against the Giants, I saw that he dominated, and that's fine. 78% of the money on Tampa right now. So a lot of people are thinking that Brady's going to just Brady this game up. The Colts are playing too good for me to just pick against them. And when they're the home dogs, I don't like that at all. I don't like that for and I think the Kyle did chime in saying that the Bucks are 0-5 against the spread on the road. That's enough for me. You know, I'm tired of not taking the sauce's advice, so I'm riding with the Colts on this one. When we both are, so that's that game. Going to be a great game, though. I think it's going to be probably one of the better games of the afternoon, including the Rams and the Packers. All right, moving on to two teams. This is a
good
game to get involved in. With as far as like a win here will really really set you apart. I know it's only going to be a one game difference, but when you have that tie breaking head-to-head battle, that's such a big thing down the stretch, and we're about to enter December. So it's the Minnesota Vikings are on the road going into San Francisco. Both teams 5-5. The San Francisco 49ers are now favored by 3 going into this one. Both teams playing well. Obviously, we all know the Vikings coming off their win against the Packers.
I think with the Saints loss, this moves actually the 49ers into the 7th spot in the NFC. I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure – right now, this is the 6th seed against the 7th seed in the NFC as it stands.
Well, I'll pick this game first because I have a good feeling about what the 49ers have been doing as far as their run attack and what Jimmy G has been very conservative, and he's been dumping them off, and there's not a lot of air under Jimmy G's throws. I'm gonna ride with the 49ers here simply because they're home. Eli Mitchell might be back, so that running back room gets a little better. But I'm taking the Niners here at home, Gooch.
I'm going to go with the Niners too. I know that the Vikings defense played decent against the run last week. They did give up some chunk plays to the Packers in the passing game. But throughout the season, if you just look at the season as a whole, the Vikings have been bad against the run. They're like 30th in the league in yards per carry against. And the 49ers know this. And when they see that, put it this way, the 49ers are going to run the ball even if you're the best in the league against the run. They're going to run the ball at you. Yeah. So when they see a chance to win a game this way, Kirk Cousins, it's crazy to say this, but he's been lighting it up. Even though he got 3 picks taken off the board last week, we're going to talk about that maybe another time, or you could just listen to the Packers Pulse and get all my thoughts on the Packers-Minnesota game from last week. But when you take the ball out of an offense's hands the way the 49ers are able to do and slow the game down, I know the Vikings still have a decent running game, and they could match them there. I think it's going to be a really good game, but I'm just going to take the home team in this one because it's the home team, and it's a pretty straight-up game to me.
All right.
Three victories, the running game, though.
3 games, 3 same picks so far, so none of us are trying to separate each other. This one's probably going to go the same as well. But the Ravens are hosting the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens coming in 7-3. The Browns coming in 6-5. Again, I'll start this one off. The Ravens are probably more than likely going to, you know, somebody gave Lamar Jackson some Pepto-Bismol, and he's going to get back on the field, and the Ravens offense is going to fly in this one. The Browns, to me, are just one of those games, one of those teams this year that I can't get a pulse on them. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. It all depends on how Baker does in a game, and I feel like Baker's still banged up. I can't get behind the Browns, even with that number. I still think the Ravens, they're going to pull this one off.
The Ravens are tough for me to gauge. The Browns are even less tough. I feel like the Browns, I have a decent gauge on them. They're just not a good offensive team, but their defense can take over and win some games. In this case, their best chance is for that to happen where Lamar just has nowhere to go because Garrett Miles is all over the field. There is that possibility. And if you look at what the Ravens have done in situations where they've had a chance to create some distance in the division, they failed. They had a game against Cincinnati where they got their fucking hearts took in a very similar spot where they were a game up. And Cleveland, they're right in striking distance. As bad as they've played on offense this year, a win right here, and they're a half a game behind the Ravens for the division lead. So it's a big game for Cleveland. I expect in this division matchup the defense to step up. I feel like it's going to be one of those smash-mouth AFC North games. And we're going to see a low-scoring game. I could see the Ravens winning it with a field goal. And I'm going out on a limb and picking the Browns here only because I just think it has I have a weird feeling that the Browns are going to tighten this one up. They'll probably lose, but they've been in a lot of 13-10, 16-13 type games this season. Even though they did have that shootout with the Chargers, this team isn't scoring points like that anymore, and the only way they do it is to stop Baltimore. And I'll take Cleveland in a low-scoring affair.
All right.
I like the under more than anything.
Another big, big game out west, an AFC West battle where the Broncos coming in are hosting. They're 5-5. They're 3-point underdogs at home as the Los Angeles Chargers are coming into town at 6-4. I'll give this one to you first. But this one, again, interdivision battle. Those are always tight no matter what. The Chargers favored on the road. I will preface it with that one. Gooch, what do you got?
Denver's one of Denver, talking about a tough team to gauge. Denver, they're 5-5. So they're just across the board. They're even Steven. I have a hard time with this Denver team. I know that they have talent on both sides of the ball, but the fact that they could run the ball the way they do is where I'm going to go with in this one. It's in Denver. It's going to start to be a little bit cold. You might see a weather situation. Herbert's playing up and down this year. He's had some games where he looks like he's going to be the future MVP of the league. And then he has some games where you're like, oh, not so fast. The fact that it's a division game, I don't like the fact that Denver's getting 3 points. If it was maybe like one, I would be a little more confident in San Diego. But I'm taking Denver all the way. They're going to pound the rock.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the running. Yeah, the running game to me, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, I think both of those guys have been playing very well. They literally have a 50-50 split. So if you own either of those two guys in fantasy, just prepare yourself for, you know, different series to be taken over. The only guy that's been seeing the end zone, however, is Melvin Gordon. But again, this is there could be a little bit of a revenge game, Melvin Gordon. I know they've already, you know, done it, but it just seems to me that the Chargers are very hard to figure out on the road. When they're home, they're usually playing a little better. I know they've lost a couple games at home, one to the Cowboys, one to the Pats. You know, I get that part. But with this, you can see a 40-degree day or a 35-degree day. I don't know the weather out there right now, but usually that favors the team that could run the ball better. Eckler definitely played the game of his life last week. I understand that. And the Chargers are definitely playing good football. But I like the Broncos at home. I like them to run the ball and control the clock. And Teddy Two Gloves to not make enough, like not make too many mistakes in this one to you know, the setup to be completely detrimental to the game. So give me the Broncos as well, +3. Moving on to another interdivision game. So we are cooking in the divisions. This one, I know where I want my heart to go, but I just can't see it. But the Giants coming in 3-7 off the shellacking loss in which it cost Jason Garrett his job. They are home dogs to the Philadelphia Eagles coming in 5-6. 3.5 points is the spread. Gooch, I'm going to give this one to you first, but I kind of already know you've rode the Eagles pretty much the entire season. I don't think anything changes now, right?
No, it does. I just think the Giants, they got embarrassed on Monday night. It was Monday night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Giants are coming off an embarrassing loss. The Eagles, if you could sit here and pick a team out right now that's been playing a lot better that you look at and like, oh, they have a chance to make a push. But this Eagles team, they're good, and they I wouldn't say they're good. They're playing better, but they're still a 4-6 team or a 5-6 team at this point. So they have glaring holes as well. A division game, getting 3.5, that half a point is what does it for me. I don't think many people are going to be betting the Giants because the Giants just haven't given you anything. But there's been some games where the Giants did make some pushes. I think even against the Chiefs, weren't they in that game?
Yeah.
The Giants, they have some talent, and I like a team where there's a firing. I know it sounds weird, and it was actually proven wrong where when a coach gets fired, this was head coach we're talking about, the team typically does worse after that. I find that to be crazy because from my understanding is every time a team fires somebody, the next guy that gets put in place is usually a player's guy. And I think that the team is going to rally around this, and you're going to get to see a Giants offense with a Kadarius Toney that's not playing with a conservative offensive coordinator. And maybe this kind of takes the gloves off of Daniel Jones. And there was an issue with Daniel Jones and Jason Garrett. So maybe there's something to be said for that. We're going to find out. I do like the matchup for the Giants for whatever reason. Maybe Saquon will shake the Trent Richardson disease.
I'm actually – listen. My heart and my pick are going to stay on the same side this time. The New York Giants just got their asses handed to them by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're not cool with that. It got somebody fired. So now it's not that there's a new coach. I think it's Freddie Kitchens, to be honest with you, which is kind of alarming because we've all seen what he did with the Browns. But I will say this. The players take that to heart a lot. And it's not for them to play for the next coach. It's almost like a self-reflection saying, man, are we really that bad that we just got a coach fired right before the holidays? Like that's on us. That falls on us. And you got to believe that the New York Giants are not laying over and dying. You know, I saw our boy Brian Casey post today that the Giants are having a Black Friday sale where they're like tickets are like half off. Like you get, to me, in my mind, it's always hard to get Giants tickets. You know what I mean? Like for that's like the Yankees. They're always going to sell. Good, bad, indifferent. People will be there. I don't know how many fans are going to be there. They're like, this might actually be taken over by Philadelphia fans, for one. That's just me. But there's something to be said about NFL players responding to the fact that they caused something. They caused Jason Garrett to lose his job. The Giants come out and play this week. And I think, and I hope, again, for the Dallas Cowboys, for this to sting a little less on Thanksgiving, the Giants win this game and the Cowboys are officially up by 3 games on everybody minimum going into the last 6 weeks, which would mean epic collapses need to happen for the Cowboys not to win the East. So give me the Giants. Give me Daniel Jones under a new offense. Give me, you just said it, Kadarius Toney. I know Jack made a joke. Our boy Jack in there says that, you know, Barkley's going to come in here, get 30 carries for 22 yards. Yes, he's not had a great season. He's been hurt. He's been hobbled. Maybe this is the Barkley come out game for the year. Who knows? I'm taking the Giants, though. Give me that Giants plus 3.5 at home all day. Moving on to a game that, oh boy, ratings nightmare, to be honest with you. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars coming in 2-8 to take on the 4-6 Atlanta Falcons. We can breeze through this one, Gooch. I don't know. I mean, it's not a big spread, to be completely honest with you. The Falcons are on the road. They're favored by 2 on the road over the Jacksonville Jaguars. What say you, bro?
The Falcons are the worst offense in football, and the Jaguars actually have a somewhat decent defense. They're both 4-6 against the spread. I'll take the home team getting points again. I don't know why the Jaguars. I just think that there's a thing that they can't be favored at all, no matter who they play.
It's like illegal.
But yeah, like if you're not favored in this one, I don't know what the fuck you're thinking, because it's a home team against a home game against another shit team. The Falcons, they had like a little stretch where they looked like a somewhat of a decent team. But that was about it. And then they've just completely shit the bed since. And I just like I don't like anything about Atlanta's offense or defense. And there's a few things to like about the Jaguars. They have some guys on the defensive side of the ball that could change the game in one play. And I'm going to go with the Jaguars because I can't name a Falcon besides Matt Ryan.
I mean, I could name Cordarrelle Patterson and he might be back. He might be back this week. I don't even know the extent of that injury, to be honest with you. I don't know, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm taking the Jaguars to play some inspired football again. Like I know their season's kind of lost and nobody really seems to like Urban Meyer or anything to that, you know, to that extent. But I'm just going to ride the Jaguars here at home. Give me a home team getting points to me.
I think there's only one game that we differed. We had different
so picks. So far, just one. It was the Browns and Ravens game. So we'll see if the last couple games we disagree with. This one is the Toilet Bowl 2021. It is the Texans favorite at home just by 2.5 points over the return of Zach Wilson and the New York Football Jets. Both teams 2-8. Is this the time that you pick the Jets to really rally around, or is Tyrod Taylor, Ty God, as some have said, AJ, is this the time for him to just keep rolling? I guess I'll pick this game first because I don't want it to seem like I'm just like piggybacking off of all of your picks. That's why I try to switch it up a little bit. I think there's something to be said for the Jets offense this week in particular. Zach Wilson has, you know, gets the return, right? And that's cool. But there's something also to be said about backup running backs. I know they lost their kid for the rest of the year, Michael Carter. He's gone, right? You got this Ty Johnson. You got, you know, Tevin Coleman. I don't think it has anything to do with the running game. I think there's something to be said about Elijah Moore. I really like this kid, and I think he's like the bright spot of this team. Because they're, you know, road dogs, which they should be, I'm going with the New York Jets to bounce back and get a win finally. I mean, it's hard for me, actually, because the Texans are literally pound for pound, probably even the better team. But I don't know. I'm taking the Jets.
I'm going to pick the Texans just because you picked the Jets and we haven't picked anything different. And I have no real analysis on this game other than the fact that both teams should be technically trying to lose because it's literally going to be for the rights to pick second in the draft if you lose or possibly fourth. You know, winning or losing this game is a difference between definitely at least 2 picks or at least 1 pick. So, but that right. One pick being the other team. So I would say who should try to lose more is probably the Jets. So I'll pick the Texans.
I don't buy into the whole lose on purpose.
I agree. You don't lose on purpose, but
not here at least. Like if it's week 18 and there's like, oh, if they lose today, they'll have the second pick. If they win, they'll have the fourth. You know what I mean? Like
if I'm a fan of the team, I'm taking strong consolation in the fact that my team lost if it's to the team that I'm jockeying for in the draft. You know, I don't want to pick third when I could pick second just so I could have a win over a fucking other shit team.
All right. Well, I truly believe in professionals, and I think that they're going to play. So give me Zach Wilson. Give me Zach Wilson to have a little bit of a, you know, bounce back game for himself.
So the Jets are going to, you know what? If the Jets win this week, that'll probably be a huge turnaround for their culture. And they got a tough road win against the two and eight Texans, right?
I reference Tommy Boy a lot in, you know, the guy's like, I can sense your sarcasm. And he's like, good, because I'm laying it on pretty thick.
Right? Like, another great game.
Oh, this one's probably, again, there's like three potential game of the weeks. This one is the New England Patriots, the red hot Mac Daddy, Mac Jones going in there hosting the Tennessee Titans. The spread is relatively high. The Patriots are favored by 6.5 at home to take on the 8-3 Tennessee Titans, the number one seed Tennessee Titans. So I'm throwing this one to you first. I actually am leaning one way, and I don't think I'm going to be swayed. So go ahead. Give me who you got in this one.
I haven't picked against the Patriots in a while. I'm not going to start now. The Titans, while they're the one seed and they've played well, they have real issues right now on offense. And their defense has played better, but you're starting to see like the middle of the pack defense, what they probably are, where they played really bad early and then they played really good as things got going. But they're probably somewhere in between that. And the no Derrick Henry thing, you had to wonder when it was going to start to rear its ugly head. That's their whole identity on offense. So they don't have anything to fall back on. Ryan Tannehill is a decent quarterback, but all that talk about him being the most underrated and he's a top five or a top 10 guy, if you look at the numbers, I think that was a direct correlation to Derrick Henry. And you're seeing what Ryan Tannehill actually is at his core. While he's a decent quarterback, he's just not going to carry a team into New England and win this game. There's a chance that they cover because the Patriots just play a different style. But I do think their offense gets going in this one. It's a home game. It's probably going to be freezing cold, I would think, in New England in late November. And the Titans are just struggling to find who they are on offense. And it's not a good time to figure out who you are on the road in New England in November. I can't see them losing this game. And I'm going to lay the 6.5, even though I'm a little apprehensive with that high of a number. I'm just not going against Belichick at this point in the season.
I mean, don't look now, man. But like, if the Patriots win this game, there could be.
I think the Patriots are the clear cut team to beat in the AFC right now,
which is insane to me. I just can't believe that. Like, with a win over the Titans this week, they can potentially be the number one seed in the AFC.
And I firmly believe that the Colts are the second best team in the AFC right now, or the Chiefs, which is crazy because 3 weeks ago, none of those teams were being talked about. There was a little rumblings about New England, but the AFC is upside down. It's flipped on its head completely. We have no idea who's going to come out of the AFC.
I know what's at stake here, and it's a big, big tie-breaking win that the Patriots are going to get. It is the spread that makes me a little worrisome about this one. But Belichick, November, like end of November, a chance to show the world that you know these guys are for real. It's like, remember that Yankee season that happened when we were supposed to be rebuilding and all of a sudden we won like 100-something games? Like, that's what it feels like. The Patriots are supposed to be rebuilding. Sauce never doubted the Colts. That's very true. But he's not allowing AJ to go jump back on that, actually, because I remember AJ was just against it. But I will say this.
I know.
If the Patriots win this game, again, they could potentially be the number one seed. We'll see how the rest of the week plays out with tiebreakers and all that other crap. But the Patriots right now, they're on fire, and there's nobody stopping them. So give me the Patriots -6.5. Moving on to the last two games, the Panthers and the Dolphins. The Dolphins, I mean, again, one of those ones you can kind of breeze over. The Panthers, though, you have to be careful because the Panthers right now, they're favored on the road, 1.5-point favorites. They're 5-6, and the Dolphins are 4-7. The Panthers are in that in-the-hunt conversation when it comes to the playoffs. Do you think they get it done? Does Cam Newton go on the road in Miami and finish this one off? I think the Miami Dolphins are playing a little better. Nothing crazy, nothing to write home about. But I don't know, man. I made a joke last week, and I said, is Cam Newton still back? You know, considering that like he was yelling it. You figure guys out like this. Like, he's not this all-world superstar anymore. And I know there was a lot of emotions in that first game when he runs in that first touchdown. But I still think Cam Newton is Cam Newton of 2021. I don't think he's that very, very good. I think Tua gets this done. I think the Dolphins get this done. I think Gesicki scores twice. You know what I mean? Like those kind of things will happen in this game. I like the Finns at home getting the plus 1.5.
I do not. Carolina's defense is by far the best unit out of all units in this game. Cam Newton does suck, but the Dolphins offense sucks worse. Tua's, he's had a couple decent stretches, but one of them was like against the Jets in the second half, I think. It wasn't like he came in and beat a good team. The Dolphins, they suck right now. They have played a little bit better, I guess you could say. But I think Carolina's got a little more desperation to their game right now. They're desperate. Cam, I think, is almost better off on the road because Cam at home, he's all about Cam, and he's not really thinking. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what's in his head, but he just seems like he's all about himself when he's at home and trying to put on a show. Fading Cam is definitely not my play here. I'm not fading Cam Sauce. I'm going to pick the Panthers. They got McCaffrey. They got DJ Moore. They do have more weapons than the Dolphins do, and their defense is better.
Final game of the week, another big one, another big interdivision game. Before I get into that, before I get into this, there was a comment brought up by Jack. We're living in this world where there very well could be a Belichick versus Brady Super Bowl. I know we've mentioned it very briefly, but it's like the more weeks that tick on, the more times I'm like, oh, God, help me. God help us all.
What I mentioned the other day was that it's actually more likely that the Patriots represent the AFC in the Super Bowl than the Bucks represent the NFC, because the Patriots, I think, like I said, they're the clear team to beat. Not clear, but I feel they're the team to beat in the AFC.
Yeah.
We know what's up in the NFC.
Yeah, no, nobody knows what's going on in the NFC. Not until next week, at least. the Cincinnati Bengals are hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cincinnati Bengals coming in 6-4. The Steelers had that kiss your sister moment where they tied, so they're 5-4-1. The Bengals are favored at home, of course, 3.5. The Steelers have been playing good football. They were in a shootout last week with the Chargers. The Bengals kind of bounced back. They beat up on the Raiders, and then the Raiders come out and did what they did against the Cowboys yesterday. So that's kind of, you're right, parity. Crazy. You know, the NFL just doesn't have a team that has separated themselves from anybody. So interdivision game. I'll leave this one up to you to close it out, Gooch. Who do you got in this AFC North battle?
This is a really hard one for me. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. That half a point scares me. The Bengals, they played well, but most of their good football came very early in the season. And then since they've kind of struggled, they stumbled a little bit of late. I know that they won last week, right? Bengals are coming off of a nice win.
Yeah, they just beat the Raiders.
All right. So, they beat the Raiders?
Yeah.
Did they? Was it the Raiders? Oh, yeah. So anyway, the Bengals, it wasn't that nice of a win because the Raiders aren't that good, even though they just beat your Cowboys. But
so I'm saying you can't even say that at this
point. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh here because of experience late in the season. I just don't buy into Cincinnati because they're always the Bengals to me. So we're gonna see the Bengals be the Bengals in this one.
Yeah, hard pressed to take the Bengals here. I mean, I know they just beat up on the Raiders, but the Raiders were reeling. The Steelers,
not much analysis from me on this. I gotta actually look deeper into this game.
No, me neither.
Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson are gonna be too much. There. That's my prediction.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think Harris has a big game. Again, Joe Mixon just ran all over the Raiders. I don't know about Joe Mixon doing that against the Steelers defense. Doesn't sit well with me. I think the Steelers on the road, they're finding their way. They're like one of those teams that are going to be in it at the end, especially in this AFC North battle. This is a big, big win for them to get. They know that. They have the better coach. Mike Tomlin's been there forever, even though me, you, and the Sauce had that conversation. Dina was there too about how, you know, that there's no like disrespect to Mike Tomlin, but like people were waiting to like hang Jason Garrett and they had like literally the same stats. But Mike Tomlin knows how big of a game this is. He knows where this is when it comes to tie breaking procedures. So I like the Steelers in this one to round out this week. So obviously a massive, massive week for the NFL. A lot of division games. Those are going to start really, picking up in this next month. We are down to the final month of football. I know we play regular season games into January this year because of the 17th game.
I think there's two.
Yeah, there might even be two. 10. Yeah, so there's a lot of games to be played left. There's six left. So, yeah, probably more than likely two more weeks in January, a whole month of December to play football. Things are gloomy right now on my end, but, I'm trying to stay as optimistic as I possibly can. And we'll see how Gooch is feeling on Monday coming off a, again, nothing to go nuts about if the Packers were to drop one to the Rams. The Rams are a good team. When the Cowboys lose one to the Raiders, I feel a little shittier. You know what I mean?
I don't like anything. I don't want anything to do with a second straight loss. There hasn't been two straight losses in the Matt LaFleur regime yet. So I don't want one now.
Well, not for nothing. Every good team in the NFL right now, quote, good team, because, I mean, if Jimmy Palumbo's listening or ever listens to this today, he knows that some of the teams stink. Everybody stinks. But no good team in the NFL has lost two. I mean, all of the good teams in the NFL have lost two straight at some point. The Rams, now the Cowboys. It could happen to the Packers. We'll find out. But, again, check the website later on today. We will be dropping our Black Friday sale. We got hoodies. We got T-shirts. We got things to support Chop Sports. If you're looking to buy gifts for your family, your friends, everybody, look, Christmas is here. Go buy a hoodie. The hoodie, like I said, I got literally four of them now, to be honest. I have four Chop Sports hoodies as if that's what I need. Let's see. We got a bonus pick. Is that what we got here? A bonus pick out of Kyle Kerbs. Sam Howell is going to pull off an upset today in his last college football game. Bet North Carolina money line at plus 195 or take the 6 points if you want to play it safe. I mean, look, I have no idea about North Carolina football for a long time. That was actually before we went to the opener for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights opener this year. That was actually the last time I saw the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. They got starched by North Carolina in a season opener back in like 2008 or 9. I don't know. It was brutal. But I'm with that. I need some action today. I need to make myself feel better. So I'm gonna ride with the sauce on that one. I'm gonna put some coinage.
The question is, are you gonna roll the dice on the money line, or are you gonna bitch out and take the six?
Oh, I'm absolutely taking the money line because I mean I need a real good payout, and you know my units are a lot of people different. You know, so my $1 unit is gonna make it feel better. So I'm gonna put like at least 50 units. on the money line on North Carolina to win that game. Thanks, Sauce, for the win because he's been on fire lately. So go follow him, KyleKerms.com. He'll actually be joining us next week at some point, I think. That's, you know, kind of was discussed last week for Kyle to get on the show and, you know, talk shop with us, chop it up, have you. But go buy a hoodie. Look for the sale later on. We'll make an announcement on all our social medias to get it done. And, of course, thank you to all the podcasts that dropped on Thanksgiving. Those guys are putting in the hours, are putting in the work. There's a new Cross Court podcast. There's a new I'm Your Football Team podcast. There's a new Goddamn Jets. There's a new Till Mets Do Us Part. They're out there. There's going to be potentially a new Packers Pulse. 2 in 1 week? Or did you release? I forget. You're like, yeah, all over
the place. I'm going to try and do the preview today.
Yeah, do a game preview. So the network is cooking. Kyle will be in on Wednesday, apparently, which is awesome. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Wednesday is December 1st. Which means move-in day for the Sauce Network coming on in to the Chop Studios. So we welcome that. We can't wait. So I am in good spirits right now. I wasn't before. So it's talking on the podcast, Mike, and talking to my boys. And, of course, all the people that are watching this, that puts me in a better mood. I'm going to go back right now into sorrow mode because I had to do a Cowboys podcast. So that'll be fun. So for Sturch and Gooch, we want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving again. I hope everybody had a good one. We are now officially in to holiday season. It is Hanukkah, I believe, starts tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. A very early Hanukkah, or next week. I don't know. Either way, a very happy Hanukkah.
Shalom.
Shalom, and a happy Hanukkah to my bonus mom, Barry. Great food yesterday. It sucks. You know what? This also sucks to say this. Because I get so crazy about these Cowboys games and my stomach just turns for these games, I can't even enjoy food on Thanksgiving.
I was actually going to ask you at the open, what do you eat on Thanksgiving?
I eat everything but the turkey. Like the mashed potatoes, there's mac and cheese, there's biscuits, there's mashed potatoes, there's all the other stuff.
What? So you eat mashed potatoes twice, biscuits and mac and cheese.
Did I say mashed potatoes twice? Actually, I did have two helpings of mashed potatoes. Got to get my fat ass back to the gym tomorrow. Taking the day off today. As you can see, I'm at home, so I'm just trying to stay and, you know, help out where I can when I can. So anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed this show. Dina said, can I put a shower in? Well, if you do that, that means we're all moving in because we would love the time. Anyway, see you guys Monday. So hopefully it's a victory Monday for Gooch. I'm 1,000%. It doesn't matter who wins that game. It has no bearing. One of those teams is going to have four losses with.
Now, I can tell you it definitely matters, and I'm going to explain why it matters to you real quick before we leave. Because right now the Rams aren't even in the lead in their division. So technically they're really just a wild card team at this point. They don't affect your seeding until they pass Arizona.
In contrary to that, if the the Rams do lose, right, and there's a couple teams that start getting hot, that maybe they won't be the fifth seed. You know what I mean? Like, so that'll change the matchup as well if the Dallas Cowboys are the fourth seed.
Fair point, but careful what you wish for. Well, you could run into one of those other hot teams.
Just stop.
And you might run into that. You might run into that scary Minnesota Viking team that has to avenge that Cooper Rush loss. So that's actually a problem. I would maybe rather play the Rams.
Well, we'll see how the Rams look.
North is loaded, bro.
We'll see how the Rams look against the Packers this week. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thank you guys for watching.
Ever since you said biscuits, I've been thinking, like, biscuits is a funny word to me.
Buttermaid biscuits.
Biscuits.